homegrown right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. This is a Knoxville podcast recorded at the Hutch and Howard Studio in beautiful Turkey Creek. Let's talk about Knoxville.
We're back again. This is Rob Howard, the Howard and Hutch and Howard, and Knoxville's favorite chatty Kathy. Kathy Lee Weitrich.
Hey, Rob. Hey.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. This has been a really interesting few days with talking about the weather. We always start with talking about the weather. Gosh, it's 85 degrees in the Hutch and Howard studios.
Yeah, well, I told my clients today, I was like, well, if you don't like the weather in East Tennessee, stick around.
Yeah, wait a few minutes because it'll cool off or it'll warm up.
One of the reasons they're moving here is because they loved all four seasons. And I'm like, yeah, we could have all four seasons in one week.
In one day.
Cars all frosted over, yeah, and you have to get out your credit card and scrape it off. And then the next thing, you're sweating. You're taking off your master sweater.
Oh, yeah.
You're like dying over here.
Yeah, do layers. This is layer time in Tennessee.
Really year-round, really.
Yeah, it really is.
But I love East Tennessee, and I love the weather. And guess what? This is start of Dogwood season.
Yay, Dogwood Arts Festival. And one of the things I love about the Dogwood Arts Festival is the driving around the neighborhoods and seeing all the flowering trees and all the... I was at a listing appointment this week, and the tulips are out. They're beautiful, and the creeping phlox were all the little purple flowers. But the big deal is the pink stripes.
And we have a lot of people that move here to the area that are wondering what those pink dots are all over the roads. So we're here to tell you guys, the pink dots are...
Well, they're part of the Dogwood Arts Festival. They're specific neighborhoods that historically, or, you know, they have competitions, they add them, but they're just neighborhoods that...
Well-established.
Yeah, well-established, but beautiful with gorgeous. The flowering trees. I mean, you'll see pinks, you'll see yellows and reds and...
White. And sometimes they graft them. We went to Field Trip Friday, and there was one that the tree was literally half pink and half white.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of the people hadn't seen that before, and you can graft a dogwood to do that, and it was just gorgeous.
Yeah,
it was full bloom.
It's also like azaleas, you know, the azalea, the color that the azalea flowers are has to do with, like, what, the ground?
The soil.
So, I know...
Same with hydrangeas.
Yeah, I think that's the same way. I've gone to Lowe's and bought an azalea, and it's purple, and then I get it back, and I plant it at the house, and all of a sudden, it starts blooming out white or pink or, you know...
It's the acidic level. I think it's the acidic level. That is wild. I would be mad. I'd be mad if I bought a purple one.
I'd
dig it up and say, Lowe's, hey, dude, I bought a purple one.
This
at Target.
Not doing what I expected.
Nope. Got to bring it back. But they're all beautiful. And if you drive around the neighborhoods, you just follow the pink dots.
Yeah.
And so Cherokee, the Boulevard is great. Holston Hills is great. Fox Den. There are Dean Hill.
North Hills.
I mean,
there's some of those that they... If you look at dogwoodarts.org, I think it is, they have the maps, places that you definitely want to go. Even though this is the peak season, you know, between now and this is early April. By the end of April, usually they're slowing down. There's just a lot of really cool places, and the Dogwood Arts website will tell you where to go. Some of those have been sitting around there since the 1950s. I mean,
earlier. Fun fact.
Do tell.
I was actually the chairman of the Dogwood Arts Festival parade for several years.
Oh, cool.
So it was on live TV. It was with WBIR. And I worked on the parade committee for many years and then graduated on up to chair for several years.
Sweet.
And one of the years I was expecting Alex. Uh-huh. And my oldest son, and basically, you know, the parade would be this weekend, and it would be live. So that puts a little bit of pressure on you because it is a live parade that's an hour long. So there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of people behind the scenes that just made it great. But here I am waddling around because I am I'm 9 months pregnant. He was born April 26th, so you can imagine.
I was born the 29th.
Oh, happy birthday coming up.
So he's 3 days older than me.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
10,
yeah.
20 years, 30, yeah. 30, 40 years younger.
So it's just, you know, it's like that's one of my favorite memories. I just put on my Dogwood Arts Festival shirt. One other thing, and we'll get off Dogwoods, but during COVID, my little niece and I were quarantined because we came back from Florida and everything like blew up and shut down. Uh-huh. So Lily and I would just drive around all the neighborhoods and just look at the trees. And it was such a breath of fresh air. And it was so good to get out when you couldn't get out. Mm-hmm. So it was fabulous. So take a couple of drives around, look at all the neighborhoods and enjoy yourself and follow the pink dots.
Oh yeah. A lot of them have like little placards around where it says like, this is a photo spot, this is a photo spot. That's places where they specifically have permission from the folks who are living there that you're welcome to come out, snap pictures, you know.
Camera spots.
Yeah, get your family picture in front of it. It's a great time to do that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Well, now we've talked about the trees. let's talk about the Vols.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. We're both baseball fans and just sports in general. I think Kathy's more of a tennis fan.
Well, I'm a UT everything fan, but I play tennis.
Oh, okay.
It's the only thing that I play. But I'm going to the UT tennis match on Friday.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah, it is good.
And I think we've both gone to see the Vols, and last year they had a period of being number one. Right now they're 9 or 10, I think, the last time that I saw rankings. And, I mean, it's just, to me, when college baseball season starts, it's always in February, and you go out there and you freeze.
It's a little chilly.
Yeah. Now, out there, the shadows move quite a bit, though. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as the game goes, so you can be a little chilly or you could be a little warm.
Well, we started out warm, and then when the sun went down, you needed your jacket.
Yeah.
And then the wind picked up and you really needed your jacket. So I love my baseballs. I mean, of course, I love basketball also, but you know, it's like my daddy said, well, we made it to the Sweet 16 and that is fabulous. And we'd only gotten there one other time. But now it's time to move on. Time to move on to baseball.
Exactly. So. This segment was not sponsored by the Vol Shop, but you really do need every type of clothing to actually get in there.
And your daddy hat. Oh, yeah. Don't forget your daddy hat.
Trucker.
Your daddy hat, the one that they wear in the dugout when you hit a home run. You know, you get the daddy hat. It says daddy. Any place that sells ball materials.
Ball
so,
stuff.
Yeah.
So the daddy hat is this year's thing. I know.
Well, it was a couple of years. Daddy hat was two years ago.
Ever since the coach came.
Yes. Yes. And then this past year was the coat. So now this year they have a laser, what's the Star Wars thing?
Oh, yeah, a lightsaber.
They have a lightsaber and the mask from, I'm sorry, I'm not a
Darth
Trekkie,
Vader
but
thing.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, that's this year. I'm not, I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
funny.
Like, but no, that's the thing this year is okay. The Darth Vader thing. So it's always fun. So
on my end, this is one of those crazy things. I joined the East Tennessee Historical Society.
Aww.
There's so many. Well, it's a throwback to when I was a little kid. My grandmother would always take me down to the Polk County Historical Society, or Southeast Tennessee. It's where I have my little loft.
Right.
My little tiny house.
Mm-hmm. At the pond.
Going to be a tiny house village.
Aww.
And just some of the stuff. I just remember really, really enjoying being around the little old ladies and the little people that were telling the stories that, you know, one time down there, I actually sat down with my great-great-uncle, Willie Ross, and he was, I think his great-great-great-grandfather was John Ross, who was the chief of the Cherokees.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, it's like, he was a generation away from, you know, actually knowing your distant ancestors who are historically significant.
That is awesome.
Yeah, John Ross founded Chattanooga.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Moses Landing.
Wow.
Anyway.
That's
just
awesome.
Going off on different directions.
Well, no, congratulations on, I guess anybody can join and they
yeah,
have
you
dinners. You sit on the grounds.
Yeah, they have dinners. They have special events all the time.
So if you're new to Knoxville, that would be really cool.
Yeah, it's an ideal thing to just get into the world of Knoxville and the world of all of East Tennessee.
So I love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
We have Sunday night supper every Sunday night. And I got a cookbook from First Prez.
Uh-huh.
Downtown.
Yeah.
And it's called The Turnip Patch because the gentleman who donated all the land,
James White,
donated the land for the church, but also donated the land for their
cemetery. Yeah.
And then that was where his turnip patch was. So
and even today, if it's the church I'm thinking about,
it's downtown, like close to State Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right when you're in that garage,
you can look off
and see the cemetery.
That's the church.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So in this cookbook, there's all these stories of the building of the church and how the land was, again, donated, and how, I mean, it's a super cool historical, quote, cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't just like the recipes. I love the stories within. So, you know, most people go to bed, like, you know, read a novel or, you know, Dickens or something. And I go to bed and read cookbooks.
One pinch
of wine. No, I read the stories in the cookbooks, and especially from churches and around here. So it's really fabulous. If they sold out immediately, then they reproduced the cookbook, and they sold out immediately. But it's called The Turnip Patch. So if you ever see one in a, you know, a used bookstore or something like that, pick it up, grab it.
Check it out.
Oh, yeah. So it'd be the First Perez of Knoxville Turnip Patch cookbook. So that's awesome. A little historical.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Doodity. So what else is going on?
Well, I know I didn't eat out very much this weekend, but I hear tell that Kathy did.
Well, Kathy likes to eat out. You could ask any of my friends. Oh, you know, I would tell you some secrets, but I can't. So I went to Kazzy's. Love, love, love Kazzy's.
Kazzy's Corner down off North Shore.
Yes. I tell you what, it is so quaint and so lovely, and I love the food. And sometimes we just go there. We went there after the symphony program that was last Saturday night, the symphony ball.
Oh, okay.
So after the ball, we went to Kazzy's. There's just four or five of us. You know how you have the after party? That's where the fun begins.
I always feel like there should be a jazz court, or like a couple jazz people playing there in the corner or something.
Now that Van Edem's has that.
Do they?
Yes. That's on North Shore. On down, it close to Chodo.
Yeah, but this is.
But
I just
this is Kazzy's. But I think you're
feels
right.
Feels like a little it jazz does. Bar, and it's not. I mean, it's great food.
I love it, love it, love it. And of course, I went to Copper Cellar.
Cellar's so sad to me because they're closing down.
Oh, we didn't go to that one, but that's gut wrenching.
Yeah.
The one on Cumberland is, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. It's awful.
Yeah.
I hate that it's closing. That was like a staple on the strip.
Yeah.
But there's still other locations. And we go to the Copper Cellar on Kingston Pike, right there at the close to the mall.
Yeah, right before you get to the mall.
Because they have
Cappuccinos.
You can get both menus.
Okay.
So you can sit on either side. And we always sit in the bar. And we go there on Wednesdays after tennis because it's half price wine. And we usually split a bunch of meals. Well, no, we get big meals. What else? It's good.
Awesome.
But then, okay, so they have loud music, and there was only a couple other people in there, and Debbie Boone, and You Light Up My Life, came on, and I might have broken out in song. I might have.
At the
top of my lungs, and the bartenders and the two guys sitting at the bar just kind of looked over, you know, very nonchalantly, scratched their head and turned back around and laughed.
Yeah,
and
how many flasks of those?
Bottles of wine. I was good to drive home, but it was, oh my gosh. And so I had to send it to one of my best friends, Kevin Cooper. His sister is Carolee Edenfield, who's a realtor with Keller Williams. Yeah. So they have been lifelong friends. And ever since we were tiny, that's been our song. Because we were riding in the back of a station wagon going to Westtown to see Santa Claus.
Oh, that's
and it
sweet.
Came on. And so we just start singing it. Every time it comes on, you've just got to break out in song. So I broke out in song. I videoed it and I sent it to Kevin. And he laughed his head off, and he didn't see it till the next morning because he went to bed early. I probably sent it about 10:30 or 11 o'clock, so it was fantastic. So anytime you can go to Copper Cellar, you may or may not see me singing karaoke. and Point B, yum.
My dear friend Rob White gave me a gift card to Point B, and I haven't been there yet.
Oh, Rob, where have you been?
I know.
Oh, seriously.
I've actually even pulled in on one of the days when they were closed because the staffing was not.
Oh, no.
To the level.
Listen.
Which I think that's really sweet when they do that because, you know, they actually had a statement. They said, you know, our people are working really hard and they're every day. So we've decided to give them this day off. And, you know, I think that's really big of, especially a newer restaurant.
Oh, yeah. They've got outdoor dining. During the winter, they've got those little clear igloos.
Uh-huh.
And they've got heat on the back porch, and it's lovely.
Awesome.
And I love it. But usually we just go, and if there's a big group of us, we sit at the tables. But if it's just a couple of us, we sit at the bar.
Well, and so, pretty much the definition of a restaurant that Rob goes to would be a place with a patio, because it's just such, mm-hmm. I mean, this time of year, it's perfect.
It is. It really is. We could not get on the bar last weekend. Amy Lesby, one of my dear, dear friends, and I went. And Marie, one of my tennis players, we went last week, and I was telling Amy, we got a hamburger. Uh-huh. And it was, we split the hamburger and split the fries. And then we both wished we had gotten a whole hamburger.
Why didn't you just order another one because, and split it?
Because we got dessert. We got banana pudding.
Yeah.
And it is so good. So that's what Amy and I did. We got a burger and split it, and then got banana pudding, and it was fabulous as usual. But
sweet.
Their charcuterie boards are amazing, and they have steak bites.
Mm-hmm.
They have a really good happy hour, so
yeah.
If you want more bang for your buck,
I'm going to have to check it out.
Go at happy hour. Also, brunch is amazing. Brunch at Point B is amazing. We're actually going there Easter Sunday.
See, and 9 times out of 10, we go to Market Square or somewhere.
Oh,
you know,
I love
after,
that.
After church, Sunday brunch, whatever.
Well, we went to the Vault last year at Vita, and they're not doing brunch this year.
Right.
For Easter.
That was one thing that we did this weekend, was we went to Cafe 4.
Oh.
And that was really good.
Love,
I mean,
Cafe 4.
I've been getting these things. They're hashes. It's like they have a Cajun hash that has andouille sausage and shrimp and a bunch of stuff like that that's just really, really good. But and Amy got something with poached eggs on it. It was
yum.
she's a big poached egg fan.
I'm not either. Alex and Jake are my boys,
just,
and it's I love Cafe 4.
Mm-hmm.
I love Cafe 4. So enough about eating. I'm about ready to go to supper. So let's talk about real estate for just a second.
Tall tales in real estate.
So,
Kathy was telling me earlier, and I just tell your Tree Tucker story.
Okay, Tucker Tree, sorry. So I'll make this quick, guys, but I have these clients that are fabulous, that have just really turned into good friends and almost family.
Mm-hmm.
So listed house number one in Gibbs, and the wife was so sad. She was almost in tears. And I was like, Brenda, what's wrong? And she said, it's the Tucker Tree. It's the Tucker Tree. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, but okay. Anthony, what is she talking about? And her husband said, well, we got this tree when our son Tucker was born. And it was a Japanese maple, and it was in the front yard, and she was so distraught. And so,
those are beautiful.
They are. But being the realtors that we are, we fix problems, and we come up with solutions. And I was like, okay, let's put in the contract that this tree, Tucker's tree, does not convey with the property.
Right.
Oh, they were so happy. Well, we sold the house. And it was the period of time where you cannot move the tree. And the tree was huge. And we couldn't
move it in what, November or something like that?
Right. And this was like May. And it was like, you can't move it. So I was like, Brenda, what if Tucker's tree dies? And she's like, oh no, it can't. Tucker's tree can't die. I was like, what if I buy you another Japanese maple as a closing gift for your new house? And she was like, oh, that's perfect. So Anthony and Brenda and Tucker and I, after closing, went and bought a Japanese maple.
Aww.
Then we sold that house. So then we bought a condo. And then we had to go buy Tucker another tree.
Was it a bonsai tree this time?
Yes.
Condos.
It was the cutest. Like, it looked like something from Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
It came out, and it was like sticks, and then it had balls all over the top of it.
Oh, cute.
Oh, if you'll take a look at our blog picture, Rob's going to put a picture of Tucker's tree.
Yeah, that'll be our main picture for this week.
And so that condo happened to be just a little too small.
Mm-hmm.
So they called me and sold it, had a contract within 6 hours.
Good gracious.
And Tucker said, I'll call the movers. You go buy me another tree.
Oh, so I love that.
That's what we did. Right after closing, we went to Pope's at Dixie Lee Junction and picked out a blue, sprucey, whimsical, curvy tree. And that is as botanical as I can get. But it is.
That's a technical name.
Yeah, I'm not a what tree person, yeah. But it is fabulous. And so I just wanted to say thank you to the Fields because they trust me and we made it work on every single deal. And this is the sixth deal that I have done with them.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I just love them. And so we were texting, well, actually late earlier today, and he said, are you having withdrawals? And I was like, yes, I'm having withdrawals. I said, when y'all going to buy and sell again? And he's like, we're done, except we're going to buy some rental property. And I'm like, yes, we can have Tucker trees everywhere. And then
well,
he
that's
said,
that's the great thing about that story that, I mean, he can go back to his place where he was a baby.
Yes.
He can go back and he's got the trees everywhere.
Check out, I know. And now Tucker is a senior.
Awesome.
And he's going to go to college, and we will always have Tucker's trees planted all over Knoxville. But the funny thing was, he texted me, and Anthony goes, hey, do you want to go to Mom's for Easter? I was like, oh, Anthony, thank you so much. I think of y'all as like family too, but I need to spend Easter with my family. He was like, oh my gosh, that was supposed to go to my sister-in-law.
Another Kathy.
Yeah, no, it wasn't even another Kathy. And it was just so funny. So you just get those relationships and you just savor them, and you kind of hate whenever they're over, but they're never over. So you just keep in touch, and I'm going to go over to their house for game night. And and you had a similar one. Didn't you have one with six transactions?
Yeah, it was. Well, I've had several over the years with about five or six transactions.
Oh, wow.
And I always call that the great retrace, because I'd love to sit down. And that's one thing, you know, if anybody's interested in real estate, the longevity is just, I mean, it's like it's hard the first year, and then all of a sudden the people that you work with the first year have friends who call you, and then those people have friends who call you, and as long as you keep up and continue to care for people and
yes.
and treat them all, you know, where they're inviting you to Easter dinner, Easter lunch at Mom's, yeah, but this last little closing that I had, it was my friend, let's see. Well, actually, one set, I've had two different sets that have long tail stories, but one of them, back in 1999, that was, 5 years before I even got in real estate, I was watching this video about, it was this old guy named Carlton Sheets, and he suggested that anybody could be a landlord, and anybody could, you know, all these things. And he kind of sold this coaching package where he talked you through how to be not a real estate agent, but a landlord.
Right.
And that's really how I got into real estate. Was I started?
Really?
Yeah, I started buying. Well, the very first house I bought was $32,000. I think I've told this story.
Oh.
And it was. Back then, the average house was going for about $120,000. So
it's a good deal.
Here. So the $32,000, it was kind of crumbling down. It was an old 1940s house, right post-war. And the first night we were there, like somebody at the little bar down about a mile away was shooting off their guns, and we were like, "What did we do?" But that house, since South Knoxville's kind of developed, that house was right behind a laundromat, and that laundromat now is the Alliance Microbrewery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
South Knoxville is hot.
Yeah, that one that I bought for $32,000 probably could sell for over $250,000 right now.
I was going to say $300,000.
Yeah.
Depends on the upgrades that they've done,
yeah,
but golly.
Yeah. Well, the last time I drove by, the siding that I put on, the roof that I put on, everything is still there, so, I mean, I think you would probably need a rehab before I could get in the 300s. But
well, maybe they'll call you and you can sell it.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, but every time, just like Tucker's Tree, it's nice to be, whenever you're invested and have some time in a town like Knoxville, you know, just to be able to drive by and say, hey, you know, that was my starter house, and this was my that, and this is my the other. But so after that house, we bought a nicer house and rented that house, and it paid the mortgage on our first house.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that's the no-brainer in being a real estate investor.
And then you decided, well, I don't need a realtor. I'm going to be one.
Yeah, it was like after, I think I was 7 years doing this marketing job for the food service at UT. Mm-hmm. It was the company I had 16 houses between West Virginia and North Georgia, and I was just driving all the time. And
really?
It was just not an ideal situation, and I didn't love the job, and I wasn't passionate about it. So that was when the opportunity arose. It was funny because I ran into another girl, Gina Mills, who was she's with Caldwell Banker, or I don't know if she still is, but she was the marketing person for UT specifically, and I had moved on to be the marketing person for all those other smaller schools.
Okay.
And we ran into each other at real estate school.
Oh. So you both decided.
Yeah, it was like,
it'd be a good time to do that.
Yeah. So,
well, that's awesome. So what year was that?
That was, I started in 2003.
Okay.
That was my first year as a realtor.
That's awesome.
But one of those rental houses, one of my most recent closings, was this little couple came and they lived there. I think they lived maybe for 2 years.
In your first rental?
No, not in the very first rental.
Okay.
But in one of the
investment
properties.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they, I always talk to my tenants and say, act like a landlord. Well, these are my tenants. It's not like that. But I always tell the folks, if you want to use me as your realtor, then, you know, the day we close, you're not going to lose your, you know, anything. It's a smooth transition from the place you're renting to the place you're buying. And, you know, you don't have any penalties. You can move in the middle of the year or whatever.
Oh, wow. That's a great luxury to have.
Well, it's helpful to folks who,
oh, yeah,
you know, especially if you're renting, a lot of times it's hard, especially with the 100% interest rate you're paying, you know, to save up money to go to that next one. So, you know, just that more of a general transition really, really is helpful for folks. But so those guys bought a little house in Old North. Well, it's Avondale, so it's North Knoxville. Mm-hmm. It's not historical North Knoxville. But and they lived there for 11 years. And so out of the blue, they called me again. Hey, Rob, you're the only realtor we ever
know. Oh, that's like, awesome.
Yeah, it was so sweet. And they ended up moving out to Fountain City because their daughter had a specific middle school that she wanted, that they wanted her, you know, they'd had such a wonderful experience there. And so they were like, yeah, she has to go to this school. And so, you know, we're buying right here.
Right.
And so Carrie in our office, you know, on the Hutch and Howard team.
Carrie Mays.
She helped them because I was at a conference.
Oh, you were at Family Reunion?
Yeah, I was at Family Reunion.
In California.
Right when Bedros had the perfect house pop up.
Aww.
For them. So,
yay!
Yeah. So this week, so they bought that house, and then they decided for that next easier transition, they were going to put their house on the market. You know, they were going to fancy it up a little bit, make mm-hmm. it a little nicer after they got all their stuff moved over.
Right.
Well, this week, while they were in the process of moving out, the neighbor walked across the street. I mean, we agreed that, like, next week we were going to put it on the market.
Right, because I had people wanting to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a video walkthrough and shared it out to my friends and all the stuff. But so the neighbor walks across the street and offers them 10 grand more than we were going to ask for it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. Congratulations to you and your clients.
And to them, yeah.
And to the people that bought it.
Yeah.
Because they obviously wanted to stay in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they, it was just, that's just divine intervention.
And it was such a beautiful little house. And it had an extra lot with it. So they could, I don't know. I had visions of potentially buying it and sticking another tiny house over there or something just because.
Well, and my client wanted to use it as an Airbnb also. So our idea for that was maybe she could put a tiny house or build a smaller house on the second lot.
Yeah.
So we were wanting to go see it, but we didn't even get a chance. But that's the way.
Sorry.
No, no, I don't. Please apologize. We'll just have to find the perfect house that's right for her.
Well, but I love the beauty of longevity, and we've both been in real estate for a while, and we both, you know, it's just so neat when, you know, I say I only work with friends and friends of friends, but, you know, by the time that we have a few showings and
I work a little bit. Yeah. I do not say that. I work with anybody. And then hopefully by the end, we are friends.
Yeah, well.
You're lucky that you can get to work with friends and friends of friends. But I'll take all the people you don't know, Rob.
Well,
I'm just
anybody
teasing.
That's actually listening to the podcast is probably a friend.
Or family. I'm making my family listen like 10 times.
Oh.
That's how we're getting our viewership up.
Oh, goodness. Well, did you have any? Oh, well, we were going to talk about Field Trip Friday since we did that.
Well, why don't we wait? And, like, do one whole podcast on all of the education and training that Keller Williams has to offer. Because there's a lot. And I feel like if you are still listening.
I'm just going to cut this part out.
Hello?
Yeah. I just cut out when I started talking about Field Trip Friday. So
okay.
So I
guess that's it.
Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Nope. Well, I always have stuff to talk about, but I don't have anything on the agenda. So I guess we will wrap this up and see you next time.
Yay.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
If you're buying or selling your home, trust a professional. Don't do it alone. From the sunflower fields to the SunSphere Tower, there's a knowledgeable name. It's Hutch and Howard. It's Hutch and Howard.